Good evening, everyone. I hope I can be heard. Sorry, I'm excited tonight. I can see a lot of spiritual updates on our chat here. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good morning. Good night, wherever you are joining us from. Welcome to another time of Bible study where we would dive into the Word of God and just to see what God is saying to us. Please share the link, share to your friends, share to your family to come and join. We'll have a great time tonight. Let's just say a quick word of prayer as we dive into the Word of God. Father, we just give you thanks tonight. We just thank you for a sweet time of fellowship with you. We thank you for such a privilege, such an honor to be alive, to be part of the sheepfold, to receive divine word from you to guide us. Father, we thank you today. Lord, I thank you because my heart is open. Lord, speak to your people. I'm only a vessel. Speak to your people, Lord, and let every chains be broken in the name of Jesus, to your glory and praise, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome again to Bible study. If you're joining us for the first time, this is Love Assembly. Today is our time of Bible study. Just want to say a special thank you to our pastors who are away as a result of their anniversary. Let's just keep say a word of prayer to them as they go and refresh to receive more updates from the Lord. Amen. So I'm just going to, because of time, I'm just going to dive in. I'm excited because of what God is about to do tonight. I want us to don't be distracted. Get your writing materials, you know, sit down, take a cup of coffee or tea, and just relax in the presence of God from your living room or wherever you are. I just want us to start by just a little bit recap. You know, tonight is a very unique night because normally when I'm asked to share, you often just share my meditations, just go to, you know, what I've penned down or what I've been studying in the past, maybe a week or so or a month, depending on how I'm being led. But this week, Monday, I believe I got an update from the Lord. Not to share what I had initially prepared, but to share something else. And I think it's as a result of the message that came to us on Sunday. And I believe so strongly in my heart that God wants us to dwell more on that and take it higher, take it deeper to another dimension of what our brother Uncle Ezigbe shared on Sunday. Very powerful. If you missed it, please go back on Sunday to listen to what God is saying or what God said through our brother Uncle Ezigbe. Basically, I'll just do a quick recap. On Sunday, he by the Spirit of God talked to us about the living of the Pharisee and asked us a question: if we are born again. You know, it was a time of sober reflection to really think on these things, like the Bible says, think on these things. So he talked about in John chapter 3. I'm just going to rush because I have so much to cover, and I trust by the Spirit of God. Tonight is basically just going to be more of teaching than preaching. I believe God began to speak to me on Monday about what I'm going to share tonight. So I believe by the Spirit of God, God is with me tonight. So he began to speak about John chapter 3, where he talked about being born again. I'm not going to spend time going to the scriptures. If you want to know more, go and listen to the message. He talked about being born again, talked about asking a question if we're born again. And John chapter 3 talked about you have to be born again for you to see the kingdom. And then he went on further, verse 5, to talk about you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit for you to enter into the kingdom. And then he talked about the righteousness of the Pharisees, you know, how they do all those works, pray, fast, etc. You know, those things. Like I said, I'm not going to bore us with that. Tonight, my emphasis tonight is, whilst I was on Monday, precisely in the more early hours, God began to speak to me about today. And he impressed in my spirit to talk about the righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees as a stabilizing factor in our walk with God, and that we give us a rich entrance into the kingdom. It is clear from Sunday message that, you know, God does not desire that we only see the kingdom. He wants us to enter. It is clear also that works will not make us enter the kingdom. We have to have the life of God in us. We have to have that quality of life that is required. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees. And why is this important? I was asking the Lord, why are you asking me to do this? What's the relationship between this and our theme of the month? Our theme of the month is reset. And God began to speak to me that the essence of reset is so that we align into the ultimate goal of entering into the kingdom. And in that path that leads to entering into the kingdom lies stability. And a stable life is a life that, you know, receive constant updates, like we know of our text for the month in 2 Kings. You know, Elijah, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Elijah when obviously there was drought, there was hunger. God had told Elijah, given Elijah an instruction. You know the story. I don't want to go dwell on that. And then after that season of his life ended, God, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him again. The word of the Lord came to him again. And so that was him receiving updates. So regardless of the kind of economic situation that was happening, his life was stable. Stability, not in the sense of he is not affecting him, but stability in the sense that in the midst of the economic crisis at the time, God was giving him updates on how to, you know, to live his life. You know, updates on how to live his life. So tonight we're going to dive in. Because, like I said, the Lord was speaking to me saying that this is necessary, because if you are the ultimate goal of resetting us is so that we enter in, so that we are aligned to the path. The Bible says, walk in this road that is narrow, that is straight, and it will lead you to the path, to the kingdom. In that path lies a stable life of a Christian. In that path, because that path, there is stability, and we'll see it shortly. So I'm going to start off by I'm going to start off by reading our main text for today, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1 to 11. So I'll just read through and then we will start highlighting something. So like I said, the emphasis today is what is the righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees as a key, as a way to a stable Christianity and to enter into the kingdom of God, like we started on Sunday where our brother was sharing. So I read 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. We'll come back to that like precious faith. We'll talk about it shortly. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. On verse 5, it says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means you always receive update from God. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So just an overview. Tonight we're not going to dwell too much on. We're just going to do an overview of some things, some qualities we are looking at that should be present in the life of a believer who is seeking to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. Right. So we have seen that first. Just some few things. We see that if we have these qualities highlighted from in verse 5, we will not lack. We will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What it means basically is we'll be receiving updates. Right, and it says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. That means you will have a stable life, an upgraded life. You know, it's a life of stability. Is a life that is not, it's not a life that is devoid of challenges. A life that is stable is a life that is that receives update from the Lord on seasons, ultimately with the goal of giving us a rich entrance into the kingdom. Like, you know, we talked on Sunday, you know, not just God doesn't just want us to see, he wants us to enter, you know. So, but tonight, my emphasis is going to be on, from verse 5, we want to look at those virtues. You know, if we want to look at these virtues, these qualities, today will not be enough for us to, you know, to go dive deep into all of them. But we will just do an overview, you know, just see what God is saying. And so I'll just read from verse 5 again. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we're going to look at virtue, that which is the first quality. Anytime maybe I'm having a conversation with anybody, believer, and we are talking about trying to get understanding from the scriptures, if you know me very well, you know I like to go to the root words, you know, go to the root words and see what it means. Not just to see what it means, see how it is used, so that we have a better understanding. I usually don't like to just interpret scriptures through translations, look at it in different translations. You hear a lot of people say that, you know, the Bible, the English language, even though they've done a great job, you could see some honest misrepresentation of some things, not intentional. And so it's always necessary for us to go to the root word, because Bible is not written in English. Go to the root word and see what was used there to describe virtue. And this will help us to see how, like I said, tonight is basically more of teaching. This will help us to see, you know, what these things are and how it is used and how we should align ourselves, you know, to see and examine our lives through the lens of these qualities, right? So virtue. So and this information where it's gotten from is Blue Letter Bible. It's very it has the Greek rendition, it has all of those details there. So it's nothing that I formed by myself. It's out there, it's available. It's just I can take a bit of time to search it out, but it's available. Thanks be to God. So it's nothing of my own doing. It's what, you know, what is available for to us, you know. So virtue in the original rendition of it has two definitions. It speaks of power, and the other one, it speaks of moral excellence. So essentially it talks about, virtue talks about that willingness to do God's will, that willingness. So the power there, you see, like in Jesus speaking, Jesus said to the, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, virtue has left me. Virtue there. So virtue means two things. The first one is power, which means like as used in that scriptures, you know, power left me. And then you see that in Matthew where Jesus said that and some other places. Virtue also means the willingness, moral excellence, where it talks about your will to do God's will, your willingness to act upon God's word, your willingness to look at sin in the face and say no to sin. The willingness, the willpower to say no to sin. And then you see that in the usage in the original rendition, what was used there, you know, in this second Peter is the second definition, which is moral excellence. So that willingness, that courage, that fortitude, that manly strength. When I say manly strength, women have strength as well. So I'm not referring to, you know, male figure. Bible says, Jesus said, he created he, them, male and female. So women also have the courage, the might, the strength, the willpower as well. So it's not relating to man, but it defines that manly courage, that will to do God's will, right? Developing that strength to do God's will. We are quickly going to rush and read, start off by Romans chapter 6, verse 12. If you can pull that up quickly. Romans chapter 6, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So it says there, it talks about do not let. So do not let means it's up to you. Of course, we started by reading that God has given us this grace to be able to live above sin. So it says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey in its law. So it's saying that develop that strength, that will for you to say no to sin, you know. And then let's look at Romans 12 verse 2. I don't know if they have it in the Phillips translation. I liked how it puts it there. If you have it there, if not, I can search it out quickly and just read. Yes, it says, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you, your minds from within. You know, so he says, so that you may prove the problem. No, my emphasis is that first part. Sorry. Thank you. So he says, do not let the world squeeze you. That means it is up to you to let the world squeeze you into its own mold. It's up to you to allow sin. It's all up to you to do, you know, to resist it. And God has given you that power. God has not given us that grace. We wouldn't ask us to do it. So the last scriptures that we look at for this virtue is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Like I said, today is more of teaching, not so much of teaching. Say, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. That means you have what it takes. So that willpower to live above sin. The next we're looking at is knowledge. It's very, very important that we know these things. And like I said, in the original rendition, I'm not going to bore us with the names it's called, but in the original rendition, it means to know in a variety of applications and with many implications, to perceive, to resolve, can speak, be sure, understand. I'll say that again. To know in a great variety of application, that's to know God's word, and with many implications, to allow, be aware of, right? Perceive, can speak, be sure, and understand. And it says something here. It says, the moral condition for spiritual knowledge, right, is insisted on. You know what? Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 17, for us to really understand what this knowledge is. Because, you know, knowledge of God is very important. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be aware of what is available to us. So if we can turn to John chapter 7, I don't know if I gave you the scriptures, but if not, I can just read it quickly. I'm just trying to not spend more. Yeah, it says, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. You know, the knowledge of God must come from a heart that is willing to do. That's what I wanted to point. So it is no coincidence that virtue came before knowledge. It's no coincidence that virtue came before knowledge. It's no coincidence that the willingness to do God's will came before the revelation of the word. That means we must have a ready heart. Otherwise, whatever information we get without a willingness to do puffs up. You become proud, you know. So God is saying the basis for knowing, for studying, for seeking to know, you know, what is available to you now that you're born again must be on the premise of your willingness to do. So here he's saying that if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know. That means the knowledge is not waiting. You are not waiting to receive knowledge before you do it. You will have a predisposition in your state. You are ready, you know, like a ready writer, ready to receive, ready to run with whatever God is going to say to you. You are not waiting to get the instruction before you decide whether you do it or not, you know. And so it says knowing. I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think so. But Sarah is getting updates, spiritual updates, and But I would you know, take my time to, you know, see how I can. If we can't finish tonight, I trust God. Whenever I have the privilege again, would continue. But I feel so strong in my spirit that this is what God wants us to do in this season, to know this season, you know, that reset, to stay in that path that we need to, you know, get that stability of life and go into the entrance, the rich entrance that God says. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Can you give me New King James? I like that expression in New King James. I like that expression in KJV, not New King James, KJV. It says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, study to show yourself approved unto God. We are talking about the qualities that, you know, the righteousness that exceed that of the Pharisees. Study to show yourself thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. So you see that God is calling us into studying, into not the study for us to amass knowledge, amass, you know, and become prideful. No. The first thing is you must have that willingness to do what you want to hear, what God will reveal to you. I want to read something quickly that I got from the same Blue Letter Bible, which I find very interesting. It says, the highest possible knowledge to man is knowledge of God. And while there is that in God's infinity, which transcends man's power. This thing, by the way, it's all there, you know, of comprehension. God is knowable in the measure in which he has revealed himself in creation, that which is known of God, and supremely in Jesus Christ, all alone perfectly knows the Father. So my point I'm trying to make here is God is knowable in as much as we can't know enough of him. He is knowable, and he reveals himself according to the measure that God himself decides to reveal to you. But then the willingness is what unlocks it for him to reveal himself even further to you. That's where I'm going with the knowledge. And lastly, let's just look at, you know, just further scriptures on, you know, knowledge. It talks about, the other one I want to talk about is the Berean Christians in Acts chapter 17. The Bible says that they go back, right? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So these are the attitudes that they have. These are the attitudes that the Lord is saying to us to have. Virtue, willingness, determination, courage, spine, guts, whatever word you can add, to know, to shun sin and do the will of God. And then knowledge, you know, the desire to know about, be aware of what is available to you, you know, and all of that. And so the other scripture I have is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. So desire God's word for us to grow. So the third one we are going to look at is self-control. Self-control. And obviously self-control, according to the, can also be called temperance. Some translation puts it as temperance. You know, this is Bible study, so we are studying God's word, right? I know it might sound a little bit different, but it is what I believe God has asked me to do, and I'm only just obeying the voice of God that I heard on Monday. So self-control. And I also urge us to go back and study these things. Be like the Berean Christians, because this is what this is the ultimate plan of God in this reset that we are doing in this season, for us to have a stable life and ultimately have a rich entrance into the kingdom. So temperance, self-control. It talks about having a restraint in our desires and emotions, to keep us. This definition is from the Greek, the original translation, to keep us within the boundaries of decency and chastity. So self-control, having a control over ourselves. And you see, the word of God, which we talked about previously, is what will... the information we have received and the willingness to do is what will begin to help us to develop self-control. Self-control. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:11 quickly. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Let's look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Let's look at it in the Amplified, because I checked all of this and I saw this translation really caught it for me. It says, "Like a city that is broken down and without walls, leaving it unprotected, is a man who has no self-control over his spirit and sets himself up for trouble." You know, so God is speaking to us tonight that we should develop these things if we want to enter the kingdom of God, if we want to have a stable Christian life, if we want to receive updates like we read earlier, if we want to stay in the path of stability, like Jesus said, the house on the rock. You know, rain came, wind blew, storms of life came. What happened? The house was stable on the rock because it is founded on the rock. And this is what God is doing, is establishing us in the rock. You know, so that the purpose of resetting is not merely to just, you know, make us enjoy in this life, and have all the, you know, get update for job, update for that. That is also part of it, don't get me wrong. But the ultimate goal is to stay in that path. And in that path lies these things that Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you." It, in the path of the way to entering into the kingdom, lies all these things. What things? The good things of life. In the midst of chaos, the Lord is speaking to you on what to do. In the midst of storms of life, God is speaking to you on what to do, like he did for Elijah. And so we develop self-control so that we'll be able to function adequately. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. I just want us to go scriptures after scriptures, because we're trying to learn as much as possible, you know, so that we can enjoy what God is about. It says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." "Now they do not obtain perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." So you see, he that competes, there's a translation that says, the about the sportsmen. This scripture reminds me of sportsmen, how they exercise self-control in what goes in to their system, and the same way is saying that if these people who are sports enthusiasts do these things, how much more you? And they do it for perishable crown, how much more you? So, and I believe that as God is exposing this thing, I believe that the Lord is stirring something in your heart for you to go back and look at these things, examine your life through the lens of these things, examine your life through the lens of these things to see, you know, to see where God, where you are short falling. I believe that's what God is about this season, so that we enjoy the essence of the reset, the purpose of the reset, you know, the essence of the reset. Hallelujah. And so God is saying we should develop self-control. I will just quickly go to the next point, which is perseverance, also known as patience. You know, patience. While I was meditating on this, I think it was yesterday, and this scripture came to me in Hebrews chapter 12, the life of Jesus, chapter 12. I mean, there are a lot of scriptures on patience, but this one is the one I want to share tonight. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Yes, go on. Despising the shame, and I sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as I began to meditate on the scriptures, it dawned on me that for us to develop patience, we need to ask God to show us the thing that we are trusting him for, a picture, a vision. Because I realized that vision is what fuels your ability to wait. If God has showed you a vision of what he's going to achieve or what he's going to do, right? It is that vision that will fuel your ability to wait. So that even when the situation becomes hopeless, that vision reminds you the need to wait. For Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set, it is vision that is set before us. Vision. When his vision is set before you, when a vision is set before you, you'll be able to see in the midst of the circumstances, when it's not looking like it's coming to pass, or it's looking delayed, it's looking elongated, you know. But when you remember, and God always reminds you to look at, that's why the Bible said, write the vision down, make it plain. Because when the chips are down, it is the gazing on the vision that will keep you in those moments. It is the vision that will keep you waiting. You know, it is the vision that will keep you waiting. And so the Lord began to speak to me that, you know, we need to begin to develop. And if you're trusting God for anything and it looks delayed, right? And maybe God hasn't told you about, you haven't seen the vision or anything, or maybe the vision is now blurred. Maybe we should begin to pray for God to, you know, dust the vision, make it clearer, so that you begin to see and have a fresh motivation. Even when hope, Bible says concerning Abraham, hope against all hope, because God had already told him, I will make you great, I will make your name great, I will make you this, I will make you that. And so that was what was his motivation. That was what, anytime he wants to give up, he thinks about the vision that God has given him. And I can share stories upon stories in our lifetime of people with that, but I don't have the time to do that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I believe that God is telling us to begin to develop this attribute, these qualities, you know, these qualities. And I urge us to go back and examine these things, you know, examine them, X-ray your life in the lens of these things. I am doing the same. You know, I'm doing the same, extrailing my life. Because if you do that, you realize that you will not have time for people that are, you will not have time for unforgiveness. You will not have time for people that are backbiting. You will not have time for gossip. You will not have time for things that don't matter, because you are busy removing the log from your eyes. You are not paying attention to someone else's speck in their eyes. You are removing the log because you are extrailing your life. You're not just extraying your life from a basic knowledge of, I go to church like we heard on Sunday, I lead prayers, I'm preaching, I do all of this, but you are extraying your life from these qualities. Do I have virtue? Have I developed virtue? Am I striving to know God? Am I striving to develop self-control? Am I striving to be patient? What is fueling my patience? And I think if I have the opportunity, I might have to stop here, because I don't think I am also subject to authority. I don't want to step overboard, but I think I'm going to stop here, you know, on patience. So what is fueling our waiting? Is it the voices around telling us that, oh, God told you this thing is not going to come to pass. Look at your years is going, maybe your biological clock is ticking, but God has told you the names of your children. He has showed you the vision. He has told you, you know, the kind of life you will live. Whatever it is God has showed you, maybe you have lost sight of it. Go back and ask for mercy. Ask God to clear, dust it, and look at it. And look at it. Because by the time we finish this verse, this chapter, this attribute, you will see that, wow, God means well. I mean, these things is, you are guaranteed. I'll read that verse 10 again. He said, therefore, brethren, it says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of God. So the essence why God is doing all of this and showing us all of this is so that we know that, hey, you don't have time to be living in unforgiveness. You don't have time to be looking at who did not greet you or not. There is no time for that. The time you have is to extray your life, examine your life through the lenses of these qualities. These qualities, it was lacking in the lives of the Pharisees. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed, you cannot. We can't prove Jesus wrong. If Jesus said you cannot enter, you cannot enter. No matter how pious and righteous you look. You know, the shocking thing about the 10 virgins, the story of the 10 virgins, I'm rounding up now to continue anytime I have the opportunity, God willing, for me to come back. But I have to obey God. So if this message does not sound familiar to what you're used to, I'm just obeying God. I believe strongly that God spoke to me about this to teach and learn as well on these things. You know, so if we don't imagine the story of the virgins, the Bible says there were 10. All of them were virgins. All of them. So by criteria, they meet the criteria. But the people that didn't have sufficient oil, 5 of the wise ones. But the Bible says 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Can be likened to 5 were Pharisees, and 5 were the ones whose righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. But the shocking thing is that if all of them were in a church, they are all leading praise and worship in department, head of department, all of them. But you see that 5 were foolish. It's not an insult. It's the fact that 5 of them were not living their life in the lenses of this. It's easy for us to point fingers and say, oh, the Pharisees, I'm not a Pharisee. But really, have we really extrayed our life through the lenses of this? Are we seeking to know him? Or are we busy, you know, looking at other people's relationship like the Pharisee do? Are we busy living in unforgiveness, having time to listen to people, you know, who are backbiting, saying all sort of things that against you that is not true? Are we losing sight of the vision so that our patience is watered down and we are giving up training to tell? So I want us to go and reflect as I round up. I want us to go and reflect because time will not allow me to finish this because we have to do the banner challenge. Voting, sorry. But have we really? The Bible says, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, unless it exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter. And here the Bible is saying, this is what will make you enter. And not just enter. We are talking about resetting. We are talking about updating. And we are talking about upgrading. The Bible says, if you do these things, you will not be barren in the knowledge of God, meaning you'll be receiving updates with regards to things per time, like Elijah did. Not just that, you will also, your life will be stable, upgraded. Then most importantly, you will have a rich entrance into the throne. So it's a win-win in every area. It's a win-win in every area. So I want us to just begin to pray tonight, considering what we've just heard, and begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the willingness. Create, and the only way to do this is to really stay with the Lord. To really desire. The Bible says that the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. to spend time. The Bible says to Joshua, this book of the Lord, God's charge to Joshua says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your heart mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do all that is written in it. I want us to go back. Go and study these things I just said. Don't just take my word for it. Be like the Berean Christians. Study, not because you want to amass the knowledge for yourself and become boastful, but so that you will be able to apply your heart. One of the definitions of knowledge is you'll be able to application in different implications. And the Bible says concerning Ruth, Ruth it was defined as a virtuous woman. The same word, the same usage in this context, in this definition, was found in Ruth. The same is found in Proverbs 31 that we always quote, Proverbs 21, 31 woman. So Lord, I thank you tonight. I want us to begin to pray in the next 1 minute. And just begin to say, Lord, I thank you for your word that you have brought to us. And Lord, let me not let this word not just pass one ear and come out in another ear. But Lord, as your word is has come to us, help us expound it in the name of Jesus. Expound it in the name of Jesus. Expound it in the name of Jesus. Expound it. Give me the desire to search. Give me the desire to know you. Give me the desire to have insight and foresight in the revelation of your word so that my life can become stable, so that I can have a rich entrance, so that my righteousness can truly exceed that of the Pharisees, so that I will not assume or presume that I am already, my righteousness is higher than the Pharisees. No, but I will look and constantly extrain my life in the lenses of these things, of these qualities, in the name of Jesus. Father, help me. Help me to constantly extrain my life through the lenses of these things in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. Father, I give you glory. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because I know that the entrance of your word giveth light. Father, I thank you because light has come. Darkness has faded away. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.